chapter 16, verses 5 through 17. John chapter 16, verse 5 through 17. And it reads as follows. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The role of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's role in salvation. And before we begin to go through these points and really to dissect this text, I wanted you to turn to the back of your outline, flip it over, and I wanted to give you some key truths concerning the Holy Spirit that is not really in this text, so I put it on the back for you to meditate on throughout the week, but I wanted to show them to you now. Some key truths concerning the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, not a force, a person. And many people, they view the Holy Spirit as it, or we treat him like a force. I just need to be plugged into the socket and get a shot of power. I feel the Holy Ghost and that type of stuff. That messes with that's bad theology. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus said he would be with you and he would be in you. He. And he used the masculine form of the word. He is a person. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. So when I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about a person, and I'm talking about God. And the Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, Jesus said that when we are to make disciples, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. To identify with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many of us identify with the Father, the Son, not the Holy Spirit. We should identify with the triune God. So I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is God. Not only that, the third thing is this. The Holy Spirit resides in every believer. The Holy Spirit resides, lives in every believer. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you, resides in you. So we got that down? Let's make sure we got that down. So number one, the Holy Spirit is a? The Holy Spirit is? And the Holy Spirit? In every believer. That is key truth that we believe here at Beyond the Walls. That the Holy Spirit is a person, he is God, and he lives in every believer, resides in us. And because that is true, we're not trying to do the best we can. The Holy Spirit is to live in his life in and through us. So we need the Holy Spirit. And I like this quote that Warren Wiersbe also writes. It says, it is important to note that the Spirit comes to the church and not to the world. This means that he works in and through the church. The Holy Spirit does not minister in a vacuum. Just as the Son of God had to have a body in order to do his work on earth, so the Spirit of God needs a body to accomplish his ministries. And that body is the church. Our bodies are his tools and temples. And he wants to use us to glorify Christ and witness to a lost world. What a powerful statement. Just as Jesus Christ needed a body to come to earth, the Holy Spirit lives in the body to do his work. That's the church. And we are the church. Not this brick and mortar, but people. We are the church. And the Holy Spirit resides in us and wants to live in us and through us so that we can glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? So hopefully let those truths stick into your brain. Let them truths meditate on them throughout the week. But I want you to know up front, so when I talk about the Holy Spirit, you understand where I'm coming from. All right, so let's look at the first point I want to talk about is the necessity of the Holy Spirit to the believer. The Holy Spirit is necessary to the believer. Very necessary. And that's why I said when I first asked you that question that set most of you up that you didn't want to answer, when I asked you about, you know, do you think your life would be better if Jesus were here with you in the flesh? Now, I'm pretty sure if you ask most people, they would say yes. Honestly, they really honestly would say, of course, if Jesus was here, man, life was great. But Jesus says something that's amazing. And I scratched my head for this when as I was going through. He says to them, because now they're sorrowful, they're upset. And he says, but he says to them, and really he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus saying, it is better for you that I leave you. Amazing. How could it be better not having Jesus in the flesh with us? What's better than Jesus in the flesh? He said the Holy Spirit. He said, wait a minute now, this is some strange theology. Well, let me tell you, when Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. So when Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem, guess what? He was in Jerusalem. You know, when he said he had to go through Samaria and sat there, he was in Samaria sitting at their well. Wasn't nowhere else. When Jesus got tired, he got tired and sat there and said, give me some water. But once he left heaven and went to earth, and sat down at the right hand of the Father and began to intercede for you and I, he could be at many places at one time. Well, he said, well, how can he be there at many places at one time? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I can do greater, more work when I leave. Because right now, the apostles were dependent upon Jesus for everything. When they were hungry, they looked to Jesus. Somebody need to be healed, go get Jesus. I mean, they went for him, but hey, Jesus, now somebody's sick, we can't cast it out. Jesus, come take care of it. Hey, we don't have no food to feed him. Jesus did it. He was there. They were dependent upon him. Now, by Jesus telling them that he was going to leave, he's not telling them to be independent of him. He's saying to be totally dependent upon him because he's going to do greater work through them. And so my first point is this. The Christian life is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we see so many believers struggling trying to make it. Because they're using their own strength, their own ingenuity, their own smarts, and they're trying to say, I'm trying to do this, trying to live this Christian life the best I can. And Christ is not called, he did not save you to do the best you can. The reason why he came because your best will never be good enough. He came because he said, hey, listen, I come to rescue you from your sinful state, but I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. The Christian life is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot even be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. You say, why that's powerful? Because think about this. God the Father sent the Son. The Son, Jesus, died for your sins. So Jesus died for your sins. But it's the Holy Spirit who applies that salvation to your life. Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Pharisees, he says, hey, you must be born again from above. And he says to him, unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot be born again. So, matter of fact, you cannot be born again unless the Holy Spirit regenerates you and works in your life. So the Holy Spirit is working in salvation. The Father sent the Son died for salvation, and the Holy Spirit applies salvation to you and I. That's good news. The Holy Spirit is working as an agent in salvation. He was an agent in creating the world, and he's also an agent, and us becoming a new creation in Christ. God said, "Let there be," and there was light. Said, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the dark of the deep." And when God said, "No, there's light in your life," the Holy Spirit was right there, working to bring about salvation in your life. You cannot be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we got to be careful. We say, well, you know, we pray for our loved ones. And listen, you should pray for your loved ones who are not saved. We should pray. We should pray. We should proclaim the gospel. But I want you to know this. If the Holy Spirit does not convict them of sin, they will never be saved. The Holy Spirit works in salvation. Not only that, we cannot fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. You say, well, wait a minute. We cannot fulfill the mission? No. The reason why I say this is this. Number one, the disciples had been with Jesus for how long? 3.5 years, right? They had seen him do miracles. They saw him do healings. They even did some healings. So they had enough knowledge about Jesus, correct? They knew about him. They saw him do miracles. They did a couple of miracles. So if they had knowledge about Jesus, and it's all they needed was knowledge, why did Jesus say to them, "It's to your benefit that I leave"? Because knowledge is not enough. You can know the Bible back and forward, be able to quote it in your sleep, know all that good stuff. I met many people who say, "I know the Bible." That's fine. The devil knows it too. Better than you. But you cannot fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. And you can have all the Bible knowledge in the world. That's why some people, they're great at quoting the Bible. But yet when it comes to really doing the work of God, there's nothing there. They don't do it. There's no love for God, love for God's people. You can grow up in church and still, no love, no work. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said to them, "Listen, I'm going to leave you now, and I got some work for you to do." He said, "But I want you to know, before you try to do anything for me, wait. Don't just go out here and rush out here and start trying to change the world with your Bible knowledge. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. And when you have received the Holy Spirit, then you shall what? Receive power. And then you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." He's saying to them, "Listen, I know you know me, I know you love me, but this mission is going to take more than your human strength. You need God's strength for this mission." So when God wants to do God's work, he sends God to work in his people to do his work. So, yes, Bible knowledge alone isn't good enough. We need the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. Apart from him, we cannot do it. Secondly, let's look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. So we know that the Holy Spirit is working in the world. Let's see how he's working in the world. Look again at verse 8. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, "And when he comes," which is the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world concerning sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." So he says, when the Holy Spirit would come, "I'm going to send him to you, and he is going to convict the world of sin." My point is this. The Holy Spirit, along with the people of God and the Word of God, are working in the world to bring about conviction and salvation in Jesus Christ. Say that again. The Holy Spirit, along with the people of God and the Word of God, are working in the world to bring about conviction and salvation in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works through a body. The body is a church. The Holy Spirit will work through you and I. He wants to work through you and I. He wants to work to bring about conviction and salvation to the world. So what's your part in that? to allow him to do it through you, to yield, to be led by him, so he can convict the world of sin. Now, when you think about convicting the world of sin, what sin is the Holy Spirit trying to convict the world of? Because there's a lot of sins. I mean, some of us committed them too, but we got saved. A lot of them out there. But he said he would convict the world of sin. Well, he explains it in this verse. That the major sin that he's coming to convert the sin, I mean, the world of, is this. He said in verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The number one sin that the Holy Spirit is wanting to convict the world of is their refusal to believe in Jesus Christ. Because that is the only sin that God cannot forgive you for. If you reject Jesus Christ and you reject the gospel over and over and over again and you die, God cannot forgive you of that sin because you told God, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't need him. I'm good enough on my own. And you're not. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of their need for Jesus. And he does it through us, his body. And that means that when we live lives in such a way to let people know that, listen, we have repented of our sins and we trust Jesus Christ and we need him and how we live our lives, then it says, wow, the world would know, wow, there is Jesus Christ is the reason why we do what we do. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians not only to let our light shine, but say something. Use your mouth. Tell folks, give them, interpret for them your life. Tell them why you do what you do. And that is so important. So if the Holy Spirit, along with the people of God and the Word of God, is working to bring about salvation, then we have a part to play in this. As a people of God, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must get into the Word of God. And we must now be led by God to do his work. Ask yourself this question. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit to do anything? You know, many of us, Francis Chan said in his book, The Forgotten God, that many Christians get saved, they want their salvation. But then what they want to do is they want to lead the Holy Spirit, not let the Holy Spirit lead them. I'm saying Christians. We talk all the time. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all of this. But Jackson, man, have you prayed about that? What's God leading you to do? Well, I don't really know about what God leading me to do, but I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do, and I hope he just sign off on it. But I haven't asked him anything about what he wants me to do. Is that why God gave you the Holy Spirit, for you to tell the Holy Spirit what you want to do and to bless your plans? And most of the time, that's what we come to. God, bless me. Bless this. Bless this. And yet, God is working in through the Holy Spirit to bring about his glory, to seek and to save those who are lost. And I always ask people as a Christian, what are you doing going to bring about salvation and the glory of God? How is what you're going to do, you're asking God to do, going to be for his glory and for his purpose? How's that going to work? And then you look like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never thought about that. Because they forgot about God, the Holy Spirit, leading them. And many Christians have never been led to do anything for God. Significantly, nothing. Ask me, hey, did God lead? Well, has God ever led you to do something? Has God ever led you one day to say, man, you see somebody and God tells you, hey, I want you to give that person some money. Well, just give it to them. He's thinking, wait, I don't want to give him that money. But yeah, but I want you to give it to him. But God, I don't want to give it to him. Yeah, but I want you to give it to him. I don't want to give him that money. But yeah, God said, I want you to give it to him. You go over there and give it to me. God can give you the money. Seriously, that's how we do. And then they say to you, man, I was just praying about that. I was praying. I didn't know how I was going to make it. And you gave me exactly what I needed. No, God gave you exactly what you needed. But God uses people to do what? Bless his people. God wants to lead us. And most of the time we get saved and we say, you know what? Now I want God to bless my life. When God saves you, he will wreck your life. He'll wreck it. He'll make you do stuff you really didn't want to do. Had no plans to do. I wouldn't think about it. I had my own plans, what I wanted to do. And God said, you know what? You're mine, baby. You can do what I tell you to do. And many people don't like that. Many Christians don't like that. They make plans and they leave God out. But they want God's blessings. Many people don't pray about their jobs, their spouses. Don't pray about where they're going to live. Don't pray about churches. Just say, hey, she looks good to me. Must be the one. Might not be the one. So think about that. What have you done, or when has the Holy Spirit led you to do anything for him that brought glory to Jesus Christ? Question for you right now. Can you say at this very moment that the Holy Spirit is leading your life? He's leading you. One thing, if you've been a member of our church, if you read something closely in our church covenant, and most folks never do, it's one of the most important lines. And it says this, I, such and such, haven't been led by the Holy Spirit to connect with Beyond the Walls Church. He said, well, why is that so important? Because we believe that the Holy Spirit will lead you to a church. And when you say the Holy Spirit has led me to Beyond the Walls, you have told me some great things when you say that. You said the Holy Spirit led you here for a reason. To glorify him and to get to work and to be a disciple and make him known. Question for you. If you're a member of Beyond the Walls Church, can you really say, I'm at Beyond the Walls Church, I have been equipped, and I am serving the body of Christ, and I'm making him known here at the church? Friends, let me ask you a question. Let me get even known. If you left here today, if you left our church today, what would be missing if you left? Like, if you left, like, what would happen? Would some like, oh, man, who's going to take that? Who's going to do that? Like, because now that means you're vital. For instance, okay, the body of Christ. If I lost my right arm, that's going to be a problem because I'm right-handed. I would miss it. So I'm trying to say, if you leave, you should be missed because you're so vital to what we do, the kingdom of God. That's so important. So God works in the world through his people and the word of God. What about you? Are you in the word of God? Do you know it? The Bible? Are you reading it regularly? Are you digesting it? Or are you just opening up when you come to church? That's the only time you get your nourishment. When I say, stand up and read the Bible, well, I got mine in it this week. That's it. We laugh about that, but most Christians live their life that way. And we wonder why we're still immature. Wonder why we're still not affecting the world. Because we don't know the Word of God. Every issue that you deal with has an answer for it in the Word of God. God has promised to direct you. You know that? So we must be in the Word of God. He wants to convict the world of sin, then he says, of righteousness, because I go to the Father. What do you mean righteousness? Number one, because the world has their own form of righteousness. It does. Talk to them long enough and they'll tell you what their righteousness is. Now, they won't come out and say it, but you talk to a person long enough and they'll tell you what their righteousness is. I'm a good person. I don't murder people. I try to pay my taxes. I don't treat people bad. I love everybody. I'm a good person. What they're saying is this. I'm a good person. And I'm good enough just like I am. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. That's not true. That's self-righteousness. The world is full of self-righteous people. I don't need Jesus. So why bother? Everyone needs Jesus. From baby Elijah all the way up. We need him. You need him in your life. And when you start thinking that you're self-righteous and that you don't need God, there's a problem. And many people live it like I'm okay. Parents, you need Jesus. And your kids know that. And kids need Jesus too. So important. They both need Jesus. All of us. Self-righteous. But yet, the only righteousness there is Jesus. And because he was resurrected and he was ascended to heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of God, he's the high priest, that means he's right. He's righteous. He's the only one righteous that never sinned. No one on earth can claim that but Jesus. You can't claim that. I can't claim that. But Jesus can. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. He says you are unrighteous and there's none righteous except Jesus. There's no one righteous. Have you been convicted of your sins? Have you been convicted of your righteousness? Your self-righteousness? Then he says concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You know that the devil is judged? He's the ruler of this world. You know that? He's the ruler of this world system. The devil is. And that's why he could offer to Jesus, hey, let's make a deal. I got a contract, Jesus. I got a contract for you. I already typed it up, talked to my agent, so I want to just put this before you. I'm going to give you all the fame and fortune you want. All you got to do is bow down and worship me, and I give it to you. Because it's mine to give to whomever I please. That's what he said. And think about the audacity of the devil. Want to offer Jesus what's already his. You want to offer me what's already mine? But he wanted Jesus to bow down to those things and be held captive by that. Because once you bow down to the devil, guess what? He will use you, abuse you. What profits a man or a woman to gain the whole world and lose their soul? Now, if you're a Christian, you're not losing your soul because your soul belongs to Jesus. But you can't lose your testimony. You can't lose your effectiveness because you might be going after fame and fortune. Listen, there's nothing wrong with fame or fortune. There's nothing wrong with money. But Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. And many people have pierced themselves through with many sorrows because they're doing whatever it takes to be famous and to be rich. And don't think it's just unbelievers who are doing that. Sorry. Christians are seeking it too. Like the guy said, the two things Christians want, they want to talk about it. They want a lot of it. But I just tell you one of money. The other one is, we need to know, but two things. But we won't talk about it in church. But we want a lot of that. You want it. But the question is this. Or are you selling out your family, your church, to get it? See, God, you don't have to compromise and sell out anything to get what God wants to freely give you. Just serve him. So is God working through you to bring about conviction and salvation in Jesus Christ? Is it? Can you honestly say that? Now you know, God knows and you know. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? I know when I say that, that makes people uncomfortable. I'm tired of him saying that. Stop coming to this church if you keep saying that. You know what? I'm going to keep saying it till I die. Because that's why we're here. If you live your life and not tell nobody about Jesus, you need to repent of your sin. Because it's not right. We talk about everything else but the gospel. How can we do that? And say the Holy Spirit is working through us. And not go weeks and days and months and years and we don't say nothing about Jesus. And then we say we live in a blessed life. We want his blessings. But we bought that lie from the world. It's amazing that we serve a God who Jesus did when he left here, had no money in the bank, No 401k. Had to live by people just giving him, you know, love offerings. And yet he was totally changed the world. And yet we who have been given everything by him will reject him and leave him for things that he didn't live for. And yet we say, man, I can't believe the world's in the state it's in. Is the Holy Spirit really working in our lives? Because the Holy Spirit is more than a person that make you want to jump and shout and flip a chair. The Holy Spirit wants to do God's work. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about the gospel being proclaimed. Are you about that? Thirdly, the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. The work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. We know that the Holy Spirit that we as Christians need the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is working in the world. Let's see what type of work the Holy Spirit is doing in the believer. He says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus is saying, you guys are getting more depressed the more I keep talking. He said, I want to tell you more, but you guys have had enough. I mean, he can see their faces. He can know it. It's like they were depressed. He says, I have more to tell you, but you just can't bear it. You have been there, you heard some bad news. What else are you going to tell me? He's talking to me and saying, we just can't bear it anymore. But he tells him in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he would take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's my point. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to believers to comfort our hearts and to equip and empower us for ministry. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to believers, not to the world, to believers to comfort our hearts and to equip and empower us for ministry. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper, the comforter, but the same word, it's a Greek word called the paraclete, the parakletos. Para means one called alongside, kletos means called. He's called alongside you. As an advocate, as a counselor, he's called alongside you to help you. And Lord knows we need help. Jesus, I'm not going to leave you, abandon you. I'm going to bring someone to help you. And he says in John 14, I'm going to bring another helper. And that word means allos. It means another of the same kind. I'm going to send someone just like me to you to be with you, but he will be in you. And I say this all the time. You have as much of God as you want. If you are a Christian, you have as much of God as you want. You can say, God, I need more of you. Stop praying that. God needs more of you. Just more and more, Jesus, and just a little bit more. No? He said, I need a little bit more of you. I need more of you. I've given you the Holy Spirit lives in you. But he's the one to take over. I said again, some of us treat the Holy Spirit like a guest coming to our house. Very polite, very nice to you. You come to our house, we're going to treat you and say, hey, good to see you. Please, be welcome. Come on in. And we're going to tell you something. Make yourself at home, but we don't mean it. Here's what we mean when we say make yourself at home. Here's the living room. Here's the guest bathroom. And as far as you go, unless I tell you. The bathroom's right there, and that is the living room. You can sit right there, and we might eat in a minute, but you can go to the kitchen. Now, even we say, well, I don't say this. You do mean that. Say if I came to your house and said, hey, you say, hey, how you doing, Pastor? Make yourself at home. I think I will. I'm going to go to your master bedroom and take me a nap, and I'm going to take me a shower and get one of your and take me a nap in your master bedroom. No, you didn't mean that, did you? No, you did not. You might like me, but you didn't mean for me to come in your house and just take over. You didn't mean that. Both of us, that's how we treat the Holy Spirit. Just be in certain places of the house, my life. I want you to, you know, to save my soul. If you can, put a little extra money in the bank so we can go a little something, go on vacation. Not to give more, but to live more. I ain't asking you to give money to me so I can give more to the church. I want you to give me money so I can live better. Not give more, live more. If you can, give me a little raise on my job so I can get that beat, you know, get that hook, you know, get that nice car that I want. I've been praying about that thing, so if you can hit me up, Jesus, hey. I want that nice house, but that white carpet. So that means when you come in now, take your shoes off, Jesus. I know you're holy, but take them sandals off, Jesus. And whatever you do, Jesus, don't go in the master bedroom. We ain't cleaned up yet in there. Stay at them doors. But when Jesus comes, he comes to take over every part of your life. Every part. He comes to comfort our hearts, though, but to equip us and empower us for ministry. You know why he does that? He says, and that he would guide believers into all truth. On your outline, it says he would guide you into all truth. Well, how can he do that? Because, well, he's the Spirit of truth. See, Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, he calls it. He comes. So the Holy Spirit will always tell the truth. He won't lie to you. He won't lie about Jesus. He won't lie about you. And that's why most people don't want to go to a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, because the pastor going to preach the truth. And you can't handle the truth. Because you don't want the truth. And that is the truth. Amen. Really? Most Christians do not want the truth. I don't want you to tell me that. Tell me something I want to hear. I don't want you to tell me that if I don't share my faith, I'm sinning against God. I don't want to hear that. I don't like that. I didn't come here for that. I don't want to hear that truth. And yet, the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And there are many Christians living a lie. They're living lies. They're living for the world and not for God. That's a lie. The world is passing away. So the Holy Spirit tells us he guides believers to all truth. That means that we should not be walking in falsehood. There's no reason why a Christian should be walking in darkness. You have the Holy Spirit in you and the Word of God. Secondly, he says, let it be that he doesn't speak on his own authority. The Holy Spirit doesn't come. Now, that's why this message is kind of hard to teach, because it says the Holy Spirit doesn't come talking about himself. You understand that? That the Holy Spirit does not come talking about, you know, speaking on his own authority. And that means, and let me tell you something. People say, well, God told me. And whenever they tell you, God told me, you better perk your ears up. Because whatever they tell you, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is a lie. A lot of folks are prophesying. God told me. No, it ain't what the word. Paul says that if someone, even an angel, come and preach a different gospel, let them be accursed. Anathema. The Holy Spirit's not going to talk about himself on his own authority. He is going to speak on Christ's authority, on Christ's behalf. And that's why men and women, we need the Holy Spirit in us so that we can proclaim the gospel, not in our own authority, but God's authority. So when I'm up here speaking to you, I'm not giving you my opinion and my authority. I'm just speaking the Word of God. I'm speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to. You don't want me up here speaking on my own authority. You don't want me telling you my opinion. Because you really won't like me then. Come from and say that don't mean anything. My opinion and your opinion has the same value. It equals nothing. We must be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that's what people say to me all the time. Man, I don't know how you preach every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I don't know how you do that. Me neither. I'll find out, I'll let you know. But the Bible tells me how I do it. The Holy Spirit does it through me. Because God didn't call me to do it the best I can. He called me to yield to the Holy Spirit. As if you yield to the Holy Spirit, I will speak through you and in you with the Word of God. to the people of God. Same thing for you. You should not be doing anything for the Lord on your own strength. The Holy Spirit should be empowering you. That's why the book of Acts is so powerful. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. The apostles did nothing on their own accord. When Peter and James went to church, saw a man out there begging, and they said, listen, we don't have any money. We broke preachers. We have no money. But we got something. We are rich in Jesus. So what we do have, we're going to give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man leaped up and went to church shouting. And they said, listen, don't look at us as if we have done this on our own power. We didn't do anything. It is by Jesus Christ that he has been made whole. So anything that I do is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you do should be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you sing, you should only do it because your voice is being anointed by the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be up here. God hadn't led you. Shouldn't do nothing. Sit down. It's about God, the Holy Spirit. It's about glorifying Jesus Christ. We have been empowered through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak on his own authority. But also, he says also that, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you things that are to come. You know that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to them, I can't tell you everything now, you can't handle it. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, He's going to tell you some more stuff about me. The Holy Spirit reveals the mind of Christ to us. He tells us future things. Now, there's a scripture that I used to misquote. Some people, I heard people sing songs about it. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it would say that no eye has heard, no mind has seen, but the Lord has for those who love him. But they don't keep reading. And I didn't before, but you can keep reading in context. He says, what he's saying is that's true. You cannot imagine what God has for you. Then that verse says something else. But the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. He is saying that even though we can't imagine what God has for us, the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. God has given it to us through the Holy Spirit. So we know what God has for us because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. God's not leaving you in the dark on certain things. God wants you to know what he has for you to do. And many Christians live their life as if they don't have a clue what's going on. Hey, what God's calling you to do? I don't know. At some point, you want to know what God has for you to do, and you want to start doing it. You have a new purpose. Glorify him. He revealed the mind of Christ. Now, I want you to know, what is the mind of Christ? Does anybody know what the mind of Christ is? How do you receive the mind of Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. But how do you really receive, know what Christ thinks he wants us to do? How do you get that? Okay, Holy Spirit, that's great. What is it? The Word of God. Now, what that means is this. In order for me to quote Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, you know what has to happen? I got to read Hebrews. I got to read it. So the mind of Christ is in Hebrews. The mind of Christ in Hebrews is saying that Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrifices. That there no longer is no need for sacrificing an animal because Christ has already done that. The mind of Christ is in the Gospel of John, telling you, listen, I am the Christ, the Son of God. I am who you need. So do you have the mind of Christ, or are you losing, having your own mind? I'm losing my mind. You should lose your mind and get his mind. He reveals the mind of Christ to us. Look at letter D. He declares to believers the future things concerning Jesus Christ and his kingdom. God's kingdom is coming. Amen? His kingdom is coming. Now, I want you to know, like the guy said, I'm not a part of the planning committee when God's kingdom comes, but I'm a part of the welcoming committee. I'm not planning his return, but when he comes, I'm going to say welcome. I'm part of that committee. What about you? He will tell us future things that are to come. God will begin to speak to you and reveal things to you that line up with his word. There's nothing like knowing that you're in the will of God. Because when you're in the will of God, you can be bold for him. You can be bold. When you know you're in the will of God, you can be bold. When you're not in the will of God, you're like, well, I don't know. God has a purpose and plan for our lives, and you don't want to miss it. And look at verse 14. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus Christ. You find a church that's always talking about the Holy Spirit, 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 don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus, 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 and Jesus, and more Jesus. It's amazing you meet people, some of my charismatic brothers, Pentecostal friends, and they come up to you and they ask you, hey, do you have the Holy Spirit? They ask you nothing about Jesus. They want to, do you have the Holy Spirit? First question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That should be the first question. Because if I know Jesus, then I have the Spirit. But they go right to the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. The Holy Spirit starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus. So you know when a church is full of the Holy Spirit, it's all about Jesus. And that's why we say our mission is leading people to follow Jesus. Not allowing you to come in here and get filled with the Holy Spirit and get baptized and speak in tongues. That's not our mission. It's not. It isn't. Our mission is leading you to follow Jesus Christ and to do whatever he tells you to do. But I've been in churches, and man, that's all they talk about. And it's not biblical. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, not himself. He glorifies Jesus. What about your life? Does your life glorify Jesus? It should. Your life should glorify Jesus. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, he wants to work through you for that purpose. And my conclusion is this. By faith, trust that the Holy Spirit resides in you. Just by faith, trust that. That means that if you have Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You ain't got to tarry for him, wait for him, shake him up, pray for him, pay for him. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in. Because remember now, you can't get saved without it. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. Once he saves you, he comes and moves in. So you have him. By faith, you got to believe that. By faith, you have to believe it. There's a great book that I was reading. That's one of my favorites. It's by Charles Stanley. It's called The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. Great book. He says that God wanted him to do something, and he was praying about it. He was nervous about it. He said, I can't do this. And he, Lord, I need you to fill me. And he just kept doing it. He said, man, at some point, he said, you know what? I just got to trust that God's calling me to do this and do it. And he said, the moment he said that, he said, he received power. I mean, he was like, man, I can be bold because I believe God told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. But in his strength. That's what I'm saying. By faith, trust that God lives in you. He wants you to live the Christian life. He wants to live the Christian life through you. But trust God. By faith, that the Holy Spirit residing in you. And then begin to act by faith in what God has revealed to you. What God's revealed for you to do, do it. What God has told you to do, do it. But God tells you to do things that always glorify him. Glorify Jesus. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And when you do that, you experience the wonderful Spirit-filled life. You will see God work in your life like you never could imagine. And Jesus telling his disciples, that yes, it may look dark now. I'm getting ready to leave you. But I'm not going to leave you alone. It's better for you that I leave you. Because once I leave you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you. He's going to work through you. And you're going to do great things for my name. And the book of Acts is a testament to what the Holy Spirit did through the apostles. The reason why you knew Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit is what he said. Many folks focus on the languages. I focus on the message he preached that brought about salvation for 3,000 people. They were convicted. It's a powerful scripture. Look at it. Let's turn the book, the chapter of Acts, and see what Peter did after he preached. This is what happened. And it's such a powerful scripture when you read, like, wow. Acts chapter 2. This is how the Holy Spirit convicts the world. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter is preaching. He says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." That's courage, isn't it? He said, "You guys are guilty of killing Jesus." Now, just 50 days ago, Peter was afraid. He said, "I don't even know Jesus." Now, all of a sudden, he's saying, "You listen, I know Jesus Christ." Now, look at verse 37, what he says. "Now, when they heard this, the crowd, they were cut to the heart." I mean, they were convicted. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." They were convicted. And they said, "Man, we're in trouble." He said, "We need to do something." And he said simply, "Believe in Jesus, repent, and trust Jesus." Have you done that? Have you experienced God's conviction in your life? That's the only way you're going to be saved, that the Holy Spirit has to convict you and convince you that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. I can talk all day, but unless the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sins and you don't, and you have said, "You know what, man, I need to do something." You need Jesus. That something is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray that if there's someone here on the sound of my voice who don't know Jesus Christ, that God, you would do what only you can do, which is to convict that person and convince that person that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. God, we can do nothing apart from you. So we surrender our lives to you and we trust you. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, I